The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
So, brothers and sisters, on this fourth Sunday of Easter, traditionally we celebrate what we call Good Shepherd Sunday, or more officially, the World Day of Prayer for Vocations. And you see in today's Gospel, Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He knows us and He calls us to follow Him. And those who are His sheep hear His voice and follow Him. And that's the very essence of vocation. It is a calling. It means to respond to a calling from God. Now, traditionally, we would speak about religious vocation on this day because of the great need there is in the church for priests and religious. But every single Christian has a vocation. And since last fall, we had Father Alan MacDonald, the vocation director for the Companions of the Cross, preach a homily on religious vocation. Today, I thought I'd speak about vocations in general. In fact, not only the particular vocations we're called to, marriage or single life or priesthood or religious life, but the one vocation that we all share together as Christians, you could say the foundational calling, and that is to follow Jesus. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. That's the essence of what we call discipleship. You know, when Jesus lived on the earth, there were many people who believed in Him. And they'd show up once in a while to hear Him preach and maybe seek a healing or see some miracles. So many believers, but there was only a certain number of disciples who actually followed Jesus around. We know there's the 12, but then there was also the 72 that He also sent out. And we know that in the upper room, as they prayed, waiting for the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, there was 120, I believe, with our Blessed Mother there. So Jesus had, among all the believers out there, there were certain ones who really, you could say, responded in a deeper way to follow the Lord. Now we might say, well, how do we do that today? I mean, Jesus is not here, so where do we go? How do we follow Him? How do we become disciples? Well, that's the good question, and that's what we want to look at today. What does it mean to respond to Jesus' call to follow Him? What does it mean to be a disciple? This is the year of faith, and that's what we're called to as Christians. Not just to believe in God. Not just to, you know, try to be a good person and go to Mass on Sunday and pray when we're in a crisis. But to follow the Lord every day. How do we do that? What does that entail? Well, first of all, to me, the answer is in today's gospel. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." So it all has to do with learning how to hear the voice of Jesus as He speaks to us. He says, "Really? Jesus can speak to us?" Yes, indeed, He can. Not in the audible, physical way that we speak to one another. We're talking about a deeper communication, but just as real or even more real. You know, sometimes people can say a lot of words, but it's just empty, empty talk. When Jesus speaks, it's never empty. He speaks deep, deeply, meaningfully, purposefully into our hearts and lives. But how do we hear His voice? How do we learn to hear His voice? How do we recognize when He's speaking to us? Well, again, before we look at that, Jesus also says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Now, today when I was, or this week when I was meditating on this gospel, preparing this homily, it's the first time it struck me. You know, Jesus says, "I know them." And I thought, wow, Jesus knows us. He knows me. He knows you. How well do you think he knows us? A little bit? No, he knows us completely. He knows us inside out. He knows everything about us. He knows everything we've ever done. Our whole past. He knows us better than our best friends that we've poured out all our deepest secrets to. He knows us, in fact, even more than we know ourselves. Because that's part of the problem. In fact, that's one of the principles of growing in the spiritual life, that you can only grow in your knowledge and relationship with God to the degree that you're also growing in self-knowledge. Because there's a lot of us, ourselves, that we don't really know. It's like we live on the surface of our consciousness, but there's a whole lot of subconsciousness in us. Hidden fears and motivations and desires and thoughts and feelings. You know, that's what comes out in our dreams sometimes. It's like, where did that come? Wow. So part of growing in maturity is growing into a deeper awareness of who I am. And what is it, you know, what are the elements of my personality? But Jesus knows that already. He knows us. And the good news is he knows us and he accepts us just the way we are. And he loves us just the way we are. It doesn't mean he wants to keep us there. He wants us to grow and be transformed. But he accepts us right here, right now, just the way we are, even though he's known everything about us. Now, if that's not good news, I don't know what is, right? That should be good news. That it doesn't matter what we've done. That's why he's the good shepherd. He'll even go looking for us when we're lost and straying. He loves us and he wants us to know that he knows us. So I thought that's part of being a disciple. Part of being a disciple means knowing that Jesus knows me and loves me and accepts me just the way I am. That's a good little meditation one day, just to sit there and say, you know me, Lord. You know everything about me. And you love me. And you accept me. Wow. Wow. That's profound. And that's part of, again, growing in our knowledge of him. Like you could say, one of the qualities of Jesus is that he knows me and he loves me just the way I am. That's what makes him so attractive. Can you imagine? That's why we love friends who just accept us for who we are. And, well, Jesus is the best friend we could ever have. Always ready to support us and encourage us, never to condemn us. But yes, he wants us to follow him because he's, as the scripture goes on, today's gospel, he says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. That's a good shepherd. He protects us from the wolves out there. He will not let us be snatched out of his hand. Now, we can kind of refuse to let him hold us, but he, if we come to him, he will never let us be snatched out of his hand. And it says, I will give them eternal life. And a lot of times we have a misunderstanding. You think eternal life means after I die. Eternal life is what happens after I die. No, not only after we die. Eternal life can begin here and now. To get an understanding of what eternal life is, Jesus says earlier in this gospel, we didn't hear it today, but earlier in John 10, 10th chapter of John's gospel, he says, the thief, speaking about the evil one, and we do have an adversary, Satan, whose purpose is threefold. He says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Did you know that? There's somebody out there trying to steal, to kill, and destroy you. But I have come that you may have life and have it in abundance. Now that's eternal life. It's the abundant, supernatural life that originates in God. And we can taste already that life here. Now, in heaven, it will be unending, uninterrupted, continuous all the time. And overflowing, you could say. Here, we get tastes of it here and there, experiences of it, to various degrees. We can't make it happen, but God is gracious with His gifts and will give us experiences so that we will know that He is the source of life. See, eternal life is the very life of God. It's the divine life of the Holy Trinity, and we are told in Scripture very clearly that life is love. What created the universe, what sustains the universe is love. And God is love. And that's what the human heart longs for. When, you see, we all were created for life. We all want to live. And we call that different things. We're seeking happiness. We're seeking fulfillment. We're seeking a good time. But really deep down, what we're looking for is the experience of love. Loving relationships where we can be loved and where we can love, because that's what makes life worth living. That's what abundant life is. You might say, well, I'm not so sure of that. Well, think about it for a minute. Let's say you won the lottery and you won $25 million and then everybody in the world dies and you're all alone. And you got all this money. What good is that going to do you? You know? Sure, you can go to all the stores and have whatever you like, but you see, what's the goodness of money or pleasure if you have no one to share it with? If there's no one lovingly to share it with, that's what really makes life worth living. It's the loving relationships in our lives, and that's why too, when our relationships are not good, we really hurt. We are lonely, or we just feel rejected, or we feel unaccepted. Those are the deepest wounds in our heart. So Jesus gives us eternal life because He's the Son of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So now coming back to the heart of this, discipleship meaning Jesus is calling us by name. He knows us. I'm the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. How do we hear the voice of Jesus so that we can follow Him? Four basic ways that Jesus speaks to us. Number one, through the Bible. We call it the Word of God. God has revealed Himself through the sacred scriptures. They record His action and His deeds and His words to His people, beginning in the Old Testament and fulfilled through Jesus in the New Testament. And Jesus Himself is the Word of God made flesh. But He speaks to us through the divine revelation of Scripture. So, for instance, today, when the Gospel was proclaimed, Father Lawrence spoke the words of the Gospel, and in fact, they were the words of Jesus. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. That's Jesus speaking to us right there. In fact, those were the words of Jesus. But you see, they're not just the words of Jesus from 2,000 years ago. It's not just, oh, we're listening to something He said back then, you know, that's nice. No, He says the same. It's a living word. That's the power of the Bible. It's not just a historical book. Jesus continues to speak to us individually and as a church through His Word. And in any given day, in any given gospel, sometimes a different part of it might be spoken to each one of us differently, what we need to hear that day. But in order to hear it, we have to be open. We have to be willing to hear. You know, Scripture says in the Psalm, if today you hear God's voice, harden not your hearts. In other words, it's possible to harden our hearts and to kind of, you know, block our ears from hearing the Word of God, from hearing Jesus speak to us. And so we need to pray, Lord, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening, again, comes from Scripture. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. What is it you want to say to me today through the readings at Mass? Or in my personal reading of Scripture, in my personal prayer life? Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us through that Word. That's Jesus speaking to us. So the Bible. Number two, Jesus speaks to us and ministers to us directly through the sacraments of our church. Think of confession. When we go to confession and at the end of our confession, we hear the words, I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Who is that? Who is speaking to us? Jesus. Only God can forgive sins. A human being, a priest, cannot forgive sins on his own authority. It's only because we share in the one priesthood of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? There's only one priest, Jesus. But each man who's ordained is ordained into the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And that's why he is empowered to act in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. But it is Jesus speaking and ministering his mercy and forgiveness in confession, also at Mass. When you hear the words, "This is my body given up for you," who is speaking to us? Jesus. He is telling us right there and then, this today, this which was just bread and wine, is now my body and I'm giving it up for you. Me? Yes, me, you, each one of us. Jesus is offering himself to us. That's, again, powerful. The Eucharist is a powerful way that Jesus speaks to us. And throughout the Eucharist and all the prayers, to listen to how Jesus is speaking to us. So, the Bible, the sacraments. Number three, Jesus speaks to us through his church. We believe as Catholics that God has revealed himself in divine revelation through the Scriptures, but also that divine revelation, that deposit of faith, is continually developing and being unfolded for us through the teaching authority of our church, through our Holy Father and the bishops united to him. Because not everything was made explicit in the Scriptures in terms of our faith and the morals. How are we to live our lives? What is our attitude, supposed to be in all of the areas of morality? It's not always perfectly clear in Scripture, and so the Church, guided by the Holy Spirit, we believe Jesus continues to reveal the truth of how we are to live so that we can experience a fullness of life, eternal life. Now that takes a lot of faith, especially today. You know why? We live in a day and age when there's been a massive turning away and rejection of what we call absolute objective truth. Most people, they might not realize it, but they don't believe there is such a thing as absolutes, things that are right and wrong. They believe, no, everything is subjective. What's most important is what I think and what I feel. What's right for me is not necessarily right for you. That's your truth. It's not my truth. I'll respect you if you respect me. And as long as we don't hurt one another, that's the only morality we need to follow. That's called subjectivism. That's called moral relativism. That there's no moral absolutes. It's all relative. It changes with the day and age. It changes with different peoples and cultures. And that's what we call individualism. What's most important is the individual, not authority. There's a great crisis in authority, partly because authority, yes, has not always served us very well. And so many people have a very low opinion of authority. And so they've decided, well, I can't trust authority, so I'll just trust myself. You see, individualism. But we as Catholics believe in the teaching authority of our church, that God is the ultimate authority of our lives. And he loves us, but he also is the deposit of truth. I cannot decide for myself what is true. All I can do is discover the truth that God has revealed. And I discover that if I'm humble enough to read and ponder the Scriptures and also to study and be open to the teachings of our church. And the best summary of those teachings is found in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So in this year of faith, that's a wonderful exercise. I know many of us have bought them over the years. The Catechism's been out now, do you know that? 20 years. But it's amazing how many of us rarely read it and ponder it. And especially when we're making major moral decisions in our lives. What's the basis of those decisions? A lot of times it's just what we think and feel at that moment or what our friends tell us. Instead of saying, what does Jesus want me to do? What does the church teach, which is Jesus? What does the Scripture say? And So we need to be open to listening to Jesus speaking to us through our church and her teaching. Number four, the final way Jesus speaks to us is through our personal prayer life. Our personal prayer is really the expression of our personal relationship with the Lord. If we truly want a relationship with Jesus Christ, if we are truly trying to follow Him every day, then we're going to be praying every day. And not just a 30-second prayer as we're conking out at night at the end of the day, you know, exhausted. But most likely, or most importantly, if we can, that we try to spend time at the beginning of our day to offer our day to Jesus. And I would recommend to those of us who have not been praying more than just a minute or so a day to commit 10 minutes a day. It's not much, is it? But if you haven't prayed, start with 10 minutes in the morning. First thing, you say, well, I don't have time. Just set the alarm 10 minutes early. It's that simple. Well, I'm not awake. Well, make a cup of coffee. That's what I do. It's the only way I can pray. I have to have my coffee first, or with my prayer time. And then, basically, here you are. How do you start your prayer? Simply, Lord, here I am. I'm your disciple. I want to follow you today. I want to hear your voice, Lord. I want to know what I need to do today so that I stay in the right track. And by the way, I realized yesterday I messed up here and there. And so, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm sorry. I repent of my sins. And now this is a new day. And so I give you my life once again. I want to follow you, Jesus. You are my shepherd. You know, and here are the things that I'm struggling with. I've got this busy thing here, my work here, and this relationship, Lord. And so we talk to the Lord. We pour out our heart to Him. We ask Him for His wisdom. We ask Him for strength. We ask Him for guidance. We spend some time reading our Bibles. Hopefully every one of us has a Bible, right? Well, a Bible's not supposed to be just sitting on the coffee table or on the mantle. It's supposed to be something we read. And so again, it doesn't have to be much, just maybe a couple of paragraphs, half a page. And start in the New Testament, by the way. People who start reading the Bible in Genesis, oh boy, it gets pretty tough in the Old Testament there. Start in the New Testament if you haven't been used to reading the Bible. But it's wonderful because again, Jesus is living in His Word. And the words He spoke back then are not just for back then. They're meant for me right now. And if especially I say, Lord, what is it you want to say to me today? What do I need to hear? So spend a few moments reading the Bible. And then offering our intentions, praying for those who've asked for our prayers, asking for God's blessing and protection over our hearts and lives. It's amazing how quickly 10 minutes can go if we really are seeking the Lord. And that, though, really exemplifies our seriousness about being disciples. And that's what the Lord is looking for. Again, not just believers, but disciples. Those who hear His voice and follow Him. That's the call today, brothers and sisters. It's always been the call, but on this Vocation Sunday, we want to respond. And so let us bow our heads in prayer. O Lord Jesus Christ, we do acknowledge You as the Good Shepherd of our souls. And we want to be, Lord, Your faithful disciples. We want to hear Your voice and faithfully obey and follow that. And yet, Lord, we acknowledge our weakness. And so, Lord, we need also Your grace and Your strength, Your Holy Spirit, so that we can be faithful to Your Word, faithful to Your commandments, faithful to the teachings of our church. But we promise You today, Lord, in this year of faith, that we will follow You. And we decide once again, we make a decision, Lord, to choose You as our Good Shepherd, as our Lord, and to live our lives for You. Amen.